It's time once again for Sports Talk. I'm your host, KOSU's Michael Cross, along with sportscaster and journalist Brent Weber. Brent, a disappointing start for the Oklahoma City Thunder as they were down by double digits early in Game 1, made a comeback in the third quarter, but eventually lost to the San Antonio Spurs 122-105. What happened there?
You know, going into that first game of the series does not surprise me that they lost the game. They played well. It takes a lot out of you to make those kind of runs against teams like the Thunder or like the Spurs. You don't want to mess around with the Spurs. But I felt like they were going to struggle a little bit identity-wise. Some players were going to have to figure out what was asked of them. Some guys are playing an unfamiliar position. I don't think it's going to be I don't want to say I expected them to lose, because I don't really get into that. What are the odds in basketball? It's so much so difficult with that. But I felt like going to San Antonio, Spurs with an extra couple of days rest, unsure about some of the roles going in, and coaches needing to plug and unplug, that would be a game they might lose. But on the other hand, the Thunder, Spurs shot like 58%, shot lights out. They shot better than that. Mm-hmm.
Tim Duncan was unstoppable until it got late.
And the Thunder turned the ball over too many times. Yeah, they got crushed in the paint. You can look at all of those things, but if the Thunder shoot the same thing that the Spurs shoot, if somebody gets hot, starts making their shots, other than Kevin, Durant did his job, then you're talking about a different thing, because then it got out of hand down the stretch. But it was an 8-10 point game until you got into the 4-minute range, and then it got out of hand. Spurs just didn't stop hitting.
Right, and in the first half, you could really see him hitting in the paint. Mostly that was Serge Ibaka. That's where Serge plays defense. That's where he blocks. He's out with a calf strain. They say for the rest of the season, but more recently, Yahoo Sports reported he wants to return before the season ends. Now, what's going on here?
Well, if you noticed, the Thunder are usually very close to the vest when it comes to the nature of injuries. They didn't tell us that there was any kind of muscular displacement. In other words, nothing going to require surgery. And oftentimes with a deep calf or a deep leg injury, you really just don't know how well a muscle is going to heal. You know it's going to take a few days. But I have nothing to judge this on other than my own feeling and my own understanding of the organization. And this isn't anything negative, by the way. It's just my own understanding. I never bought it. I don't buy it that he's out for sure. I think that you have to say that because you don't want that question every day. But clearly he is in such a physical phenomenon that, if that muscle heals, you might see him back. Fact of the matter is, I don't think they are counting on him coming back for the Spurs series. I wouldn't count him out if they make it to the finals. And let us not overreact. Thunder's staff is very good at adjustments. Spurs staff is as well. I think that one thing people forget is how good OKC is around the clock, across the board, down the bench. You don't always have to adjust to them. Sometimes you have to make them adjust to you. Right. And clearly they need to make some adjustments schematically with not allowing the movement in the paint. But Tony Parker is going to drive. So Kevin Durant needs to drive too. So Russell Westbrook needs to drive too. Russell needs to hit some shots he normally hits, and he has a tendency to bounce back when he doesn't have a big game. So I'm not hugely concerned. I think that wasn't surprised to see Nick Collison in the starting lineup.
Was Collison a good pick to come in and start?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. They played well in those stretches. The problem is when you need quick offense, Thabo and Collison are not your guys. Right. But I think that sometimes sometimes Scott forgets to look down the bench and realize those guys aren't terrible when it comes to offense. They do so many good things. Nick makes things happen, creates space, understands high and low, can do some things. And Thabo is a confident shooter. I like Butler, but I think if you go to Butler and you stay with Butler, you're going to give up too many points. Mm-hmm. And he's not a horrible defensive player, but he's not Thabo. So, are they going to – there's talk, more Kevin at the five. Well, if you do that, then you're asking Kevin – spend more time in the paint, then you can't fire up outside shots if you're going to play quote-unquote small with Durant playing, essentially Ibaka's position or in the center. You got to have people lined up to get rebounds. Mm-hmm. So no problem with Collison in there. Again, it always comes down to, matchups. Are we going to try to force our will on you? You can only do that if their will isn't killing you. And the Spurs are going to hit shots. The Thunder needs to hit shots too.
So looking forward, the Thunder have one more game in San Antonio, then return to Oklahoma City. Can the team pull it out?
Yeah, and I think that I don't think anybody's throwing dirt on the Cavaliers after they lost their first game. Thunder have lost the first game of series before. It hasn't been that long. Do we recall what happened against the Clippers when you lose a game? And this was on the road, again, a feeling out game. So I still feel like they're the deeper team. Hey, if the Spurs shoot 58% every game, turn the ball over half as many times as you do, you're going to lose every time.
Sure, the Clippers, we lost the first game and still came back and won it in six.
The first game, as I recall, in Oklahoma City.
That's right. So we'll see that. That will be good. Now, the Big 12 tournament kicks off later today in the Bricktown Ballpark. We start out with a Bedlam game as OU and OSU face off at 4 o'clock this afternoon in the double elimination event. Now, who holds the edge in this game?
Oh, OSU does. They're playing great baseball right now. And, you know, it's not Bedlam now.
Now it's
postseason. But OU's a scrappy little team. They don't have the talent they've had in previous years. But, you know, they have Sheldon Noisy, freshman player of the year, had a couple of, you know, shining moments. OSU's is built for this, though. They've really played good baseball in the second half of the season. Zach Fisher's the player of the year. Josh Holiday, coach of the year. And, you know, I just think that this is a really neat time for OSU baseball. They could do some damage heading into the postseason. And in OU is, of course, looking at it as we're going to play a spoiler role here. Everybody wants to get in the winner's bracket. It guarantees you that your rotation will not be stretched as far, and you want to stay in that winner's bracket. But OSU looks awfully, awfully good at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be great having these games in Bricktown Ballpark. It's a wonderful place to go watch these games.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And I think what's really kind of neat, too, is that the way that the fans cheer everybody. You know, they'll show up for those other games, and these other schools will bring in a lot of people. It's got good size. You can get everybody in there. I think it's a great event, and I think that the city has done very, very well hosting it, and so I hope that they get to keep it for a long period of time. But, I do say OSU, I think, is a favorite going in. Like I said, I said Zach Fisher. I meant Zach Fish is a player of the year from Oklahoma State. But this just might be their year. You know, it might be their year to make some damage and make a run at Omaha.
That'd be awesome. Now, Brent Weber is a freelance journalist and sportscaster and author of The Sports Guy, Scorecard Scribblings from an Ordinary Journalist. You can find Brent on his website at scorecardscribblings.com.